FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis.
Hello, hello.
My partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, is on location at some secret underground base hidden beneath a mountain and a river and an ocean somewhere on the planet Earth, fighting for liberty and justice. Aaron, how's it going?
Good. We're me and a couple of the guys are actually doing an armors class today.
Nice.
So it's one of those things that we do for the knowledge to bring that to our customers. Cause, you know, we love them so much, and then the other thing we can do is we're learning how to take these guns all the way down just to the bare frame, every pin, every spring. So when a customer comes in and says, hey, I need sights put on, it's like, hey, it's not a big deal. Hey, I need a trigger put in, that's not a big deal. Or when they say, hey, I put this guide rod spring in backwards and now my gun's locked up and I can't get it to come apart, we can fix that too. So it's going to be an awesome day. I love coming to these classes because you get to meet so many gun guys from all the different shops. And then obviously you're getting your factory rep, which is a great time too. So this class is Smith & Wesson. We're learning about the M&P 2.0s and the Shields, which if you haven't checked those two guns out, I would highly, highly recommend stopping in a Southern Armory and looking at those guns because they're just a neat gun.
And it's just another example of you being the owner of Southern Armory, but, you know, you're already the gun expert. You already own a gun store. You already teach the CCW classes, all that kind of stuff. But even you are always out trying to sop up more knowledge, learn more stuff, so you can pass that along not only to our audience here on 2A Radio, but also to your customers at Southern Armory. I think it's a testament.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I tell you, the guy I fear, the guy, it's like, I know everything. And it's like, oh, that's kind of frightening, you know, because technology's changing. Like even on these 2.0s, you know, I took they're calling it the Gen 1 now, right? So
right.
The original M&P when they released it, a number of years ago, now they're calling this like the Gen 2, you know, and it's the 2.0. And I'm like seeing the little differences in there now. And I'm like, yep, you know, and we've had them cycling into the shop for triggers and sights and some minor gunsmith repair where we've called Smith and Smith has just sent us the parts, which is another great thing too, is now Smith is implementing basically a kit that we're going to have in store. So if you break your Smith & Wesson semi-automatic pistol, you come in the store, we're going to have the parts on hand and we can fix it pretty much on the spot. As long as it's not, you know, too goobered up or anything crazy, we won't have to send it back and we won't have to wait for parts. So it's just another awesome thing. And you've got to be a certified armor to do this. So there's not going to be, you know, many people in the area that are able to do this. There's only,
right,
I think, one other store in the area in this class. Everybody else is just kind of from the state of Missouri, state of Illinois. We've had people from like Springfield. I didn't even ask them, you know, Illinois or Missouri. I just know they drove like 3 or 4 hours to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of give you an idea. You got another class they hold. They hold it in St. Louis. They hold it in like Southern Arkansas, and then they hold it in Mississippi, at least for this region. So we're getting people from kind of all over, which is phenomenal. So got me and a couple other staff members down here. We're taking the class and having a blast.
Nice.
And, hopefully we'll get some range time here in a little bit. We'll get to shoot some of their newer guns, which is what we did last time too. They'd just come out with the M&P Shield and 45 caliber. I don't even think it was out to the public yet. And our rep had one. He's like, "Who wants to shoot this 45?" And I'm a big 45 guy. And I'm like, "Of course, who doesn't want to shoot one?" And so I went and shot it, and I was like, "Man, this is awesome."
That's sweet.
Pretty excited.
Yeah,
so we'll see what Smith has, and there might be a new gun in there. He hasn't hinted to anything, but if there is, he'll probably have to swear us to secrecy or something. So you'll just have to kind of stay tuned to the Facebook page, you know, 2A Radio's Facebook page, Second Amendment Radio's page, and Southern Armory's Facebook page to kind of keep apprised.
Yes.
And then We're going to be getting in. Normally, they give us the option to buy a gun. So some of our guys are going to pass, and I'm like, yeah, I think I could use a new Smith & Wesson M&P 2.0. So I'm going to go ahead and buy one. So I might be doing some videos for everybody, just slowly over time, kind of modifying it. And I think I might go shoot some USPSA matches with it this summer, now that I'm done with paramedic school and I'm going to have a life back.
That's right.
Can't wait. So I'm probably going to set up a new USPSA gun. So if you're on Facebook and you're kind of interested in that style of shooting, or maybe getting into the competitions, or maybe you already do it and maybe you're just running a totally factory gun, might be some interesting videos to tune into. So
right.
get those cooking down the pipe here in the next few weeks.
Yep.
So
great stuff. But, and another week has passed by. We talk about what is hot, what is selling at Southern Armory, what people are coming in to buy. And of course, we've been talking about suppressors for weeks now. And this week, we saw the Democratic debates. We saw many of these Democratic candidates talk about gun control, and many of them started most of the Democratic gun safety plans start on the extreme left and then work themselves more and more to the left as, you know, they go down the line on their on the debate stage. Has that had any effect this presidential election? Is it still suppressors that are red hot? What's happening at Southern Armory?
So kind of get into that. Suppressors are still, they're selling. They really are. I thought it was just going to be like a temporary thing. Or it'll be a week or two, but no, they're still going. We've still got suppressors in stock. We've still got suppressors on order. So if you want a suppressor and you want a specific suppressor, we're starting to see those at the wholesalers and at the manufacturers just not become available. Right now, it's just a couple of them. Okay. A couple models that we've run into, it's just like they don't have any more. What else would you like? And so we've had to put people into other ones. So if you were kind of on the fence, going, I'll be able to get it, now is probably the time to get into Southern Armory. And with our Made in America sale coming up, now until July 7th, you can come in and put on order anything made in America. So you can, if you're in the market for a new pistol and you want to get a Smith & Wesson pistol, revolver, you know, that would definitely qualify. Or some of these awesome suppressors that are out there from Jim Tech, which is also owned by Smith & Wesson. Or you could go into your Silencer Co. or many of the other great brands like Dead Air is another awesome one. Or one of my more recent favorites here, that's just a really neat suppressor that we've got like one left in stock, Texas Rifle Company. And we were actually talking to the owner the other day, and he's told us that since we were the first store in the area to pick him up, that he was going to support us on anything that we needed, and that just to call him directly. And that was literally the president that my wife was talking to the other day. And so we, of course, being impressed by that customer service that he extended to us, and then him just talking about, you know, the things that he's done for customers, the end user, that's you know, you guys are paying the $200 tax stamp and waiting that 11 or 12 months. I was like, you know, you sound like the kind of guy I'd like to have on the show. So we might be having him on the show here July or August to talk about his suppressors and what makes his company different. And I really, you know, when I look at it, suppressors, you know, there is a difference, you know, how they come apart and how easy they are to clean, but the customer service end, you know, how easy it to get a hold of them when you got a problem. And I've experienced that with a few suppressor companies that are no longer around. And we are calling them and emailing them, and you're not getting a response. I kind of look at my wife and I go, they're probably not going to be around much longer, you know? And unfortunately, I've been able to predict that several times with
yes.
with manufacturers, suppressors, even ammunition companies too.
Right.
So
right.
So, but, yeah, so come into Southern Armory between now and July 7th. Take advantage of that Made in America sale. We're located at 9901 Watson Road. That's 1 mile east of 270 and 44 and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com?
That's southernarmory.com.
Oh, yeah. See, even when you're not in the room, we're here ready for you. We got your back.
Got it.
That is right. Yeah. Don't miss the Made in America sale. Don't miss the chance to get a suppressor, especially if, you never know how these laws are going to go, so get that process started sooner than later, because if anything, the Dems are only trying to make it more difficult to obtain those.
And they were all talking about it. Who else was watching the pregame show, right? And I say pregame show because, they had some technical difficulties, but my wife and I and Piper,
mm-hmm.
my daughter's very involved in the business. If you've been in the shop, you've met her. She's the first one saying hi and the last one saying bye, and she's even like me. She'll walk you to the door. She's got this great new trick where she opens the door. Believe it or not, she's not going to be two here for about 4 more weeks.
Wow,
so she's getting huge.
That's awesome.
But it's four weeks actually 4 weeks to the day this airs. So so we're all watching it, and apparently it had some technical issues. So of course I'm watching like the commentary about how the Dems are going to win, and they're going after certain states, and they're talking about their momentum in states that were traditionally Republican that they had flipped. Arizona was one of them.
Yep.
And then they were going to, look how close the margin here was in, like, Florida, where Trump only won by, 1%. It was, 49 to, and then the independent had, 2%. And then, it was, 47 point whatever percent for Hillary. And, they were just, really hammering away on states like Florida, states like Pennsylvania, states like Ohio. And that's the commentary. And then, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, at least they got a battle plan, and at least they're discussing it openly. So Trump's, team can get an idea of what they're going to do. And then we get into the debate and they're talking about, the Democrats, and this is kind of the scary part, is they're no longer going to be a coastal political group, right? And they're referring to the East Coast or the West Coast, which I call the Left Coast, which is, everybody knows that's where all the populace is. I'm sure if you're on any type of social media, you've seen the meme where it shows like all the states by population. Missouri is itty bitty. We're super tiny. And in that map that they've created of the United States, California is like basically from Kansas over. Is all California, and New York was huge and everything else. So they're now talking about flipping those states and how they've got to become, I guess it dawned on the Democrats, they've got to become, quote, a party of the working class, a friend of the blue collar, and they've got to focus on the rest of the country, the center of the country, just not the East and West Coast.
And that is it. That is exactly the point that I want to highlight, because I heard them talking about that, how they need to appeal to the Midwest and the rest of the country. And I have a take on that I want to discuss, and I want to get into some of the details about what they talked about, and what they call gun control legislation, and how that can affect you. Aaron Tarlow's on the phone, owner of Southern Armory. He's going to stick around. We're also going to talk to Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition in the next segment. Want to get into all of these issues that we saw this week addressed here on Second Amendment Radio. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. And welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. And on the phone this week, my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. And also joining us now is Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Alex, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a few weeks since we've spoken with you. How's it going?
Going good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I think that we talked at the end of the Missouri legislative session, And, you know, there was some progress, but I think that we were kind of hoping that the state of Missouri was going to get more done this year. Before we dive into some of the issues of the week, like the Democratic debate and all that stuff, could you just give us one more time your recap of how you feel the state of Missouri performed this year in the legislative session as far as gun rights are concerned?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, some would say no news is good news. We didn't have any gun control bills passed this year. It wasn't without massive effort on their part, though, in Jefferson City. But we also didn't have any good pro-gun pieces of legislation passed either. We had campus carry that made it farther than it had in the past. We had the gun-free zones and public transit that made it farther than it had it in the past. But altogether, they all died, just like last year. Or before that.
What do you think?
Yeah, I was actually really hoping for the public transit. I mean, I was really hoping all the gun-free zones would get, you know, get eliminated and really just kind of come down to jails, prisons, police stations, and then private property posted off limits. But it seems that, you know, it all stalled. But, you know, we did dodge the bullet with the red flag laws. At least on the state level, if you listen to the debates last night, seems like it's going to be a big push.
Yeah.
If we get a Democrat in office in the executive.
So, what about next year as far as the state of Missouri is concerned, Alex? Is there any hope that we'll make more progress? Obviously, it's going to be an election year, presidential election year, a governor election year. So there's going to be even more eyes on lawmakers next year than, you know, a year like 2019. Can we expect or hope for more progress, or is it just going to always be this fight to get anything accomplished?
Well, I would certainly hope that there would be progress. I do anticipate a fight always, though, when it comes to the Second Amendment. We've been fighting for a few years now trying to repeal the deadly gun-free zone laws that we have on the books here in Missouri, which would include the campus carry and the gun-free zones on public transit. It's like they're trying to piece it out and maybe take care of one gun-free zone or the other gun-free zone, but we're not taking a consolidated look at the problem, and we need to be. So that's what our focus is going to be moving forward into next year, is trying to repeal the deadly gun-free zones that we have. And then, of course, we're going to be on the front lines tackling the red flag confiscation orders that we saw last year. We actually saw it in a couple different bills last year. They did try to amend it, water it down, and slide it in on us. But they were not successful, so we're going to be very diligent on that aspect as well next year.
Good stuff. So I want to get into a point. I want to follow up on a point that Aaron was making in the last segment about the Democrats. And even a couple of them even addressed this on the stage that and it got mixed reaction because I don't think the Democrats believe this about themselves, or at least not all of them, that they have become this elitist class. They only care about the coasts and the borders, and they're working for all these different minority groups, but they don't care by and large about the just, you know, rank and file average American citizen. I think that they are maybe, hopefully, well, I don't know about hopefully, but I think maybe some of them are starting to realize that that's the condition of that party, but I don't think that they all realize that yet. And as I was watching these debates this week, I realized that part of the reason that I just cannot stomach the Democrat Party right now, and I'm far from a Republican. I don't trust a Republican any more than I trust a Democrat. But as I'm watching these Democrats, I realize that the reason that I can't stomach to listen to them anymore is because they can't stomach me anymore. They don't care one bit about me and my family and what we're going through, about the taxes we pay or the schools we're trying to send our kids to or any of that stuff. They're only focused on all these different, you know, groups, all these different people that have labels, and the general population they don't care about anymore. Did you get that same sense? Go ahead, Alex, you first.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and they were saying that the other night in the debate, that, you know, we need to care about blue-collar workers. We need to care about the Midwest. We need to care about gun owners. I think they even even mentioned Missouri in one of their arguments. They were bickering back and forth, you know, and really they don't care. They just know that their poll numbers are telling them, their polls are telling them that they need us. They need gun owners. They need, you know, law-abiding citizens, and it cannot just be about identity politics. So now they've spent years, you know, railing and really just campaigning on these identity politics, and now they're getting the message that nobody cares about those identity politics. We care about the issues that matter to us.
Right. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with her. It is just amazing that they can change on the drop of a dime based on the polls. I don't think they care about Missouri at all. I think that, and then the other thing that I picked up on too is, you know, we don't care about the gun collector whose guns are just sitting in their safe and not harming anybody. And it's like, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Know?
Yes, you do.
Absolutely do. I have, you know, guns in my safe that you would love to either take from me or buy back at a heavily discounted price, just because you feel that they're dangerous.
Right.
And we've talked about, like, you know, I own NFA stuff, short barrel rifles, machine guns, and suppressors, and you can come into Southern Army and buy all those things totally legally in Missouri as long as you comply with the federal law, which is, you know, fingerprint background check and a $200 tax stamp. But you would literally give me, you know, well, you got a suppressor, here's $100. Right. Well, that suppressor was, you know, $1,000 suppressor or $650 suppressor. Plus, I paid $200 to you to let you know that I have it. And then when you look at the white page report released by the ATF a couple of years ago, those items are not used really in crimes. We discussed that a few weeks ago on the show. It was like 0.04, I think, percent. Right. Are used in crimes, and that included, like, you know, hunting with a suppressor, you know, or unjustified shootings, or, you know, accidental discharges where somebody got struck and they got charged with involuntary manslaughter, stuff like that, you know, was factored into that. We're not talking about, you know, hardened criminals walking into, you know, Mobile on the Run or a Quick Trip and knocking the place over with a, you know, a Glock or a Smith & Wesson M&P, that's suppressed. That's just not, they don't, you know, criminals don't do that. They're highly regulated, you know, and the other thing, you know, I mentioned last week, I was talking to my one neighbor, you know, my AR-15 that's in .223 is no more powerful than the M1 Grand in .30-06 that my grandfather carried in World War II.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Right.
And that would be technically a weapon of war.
Yep.
And so, the M1 carbine and my 1903 Springfield, those are weapons of war. My AR-15 that's semi-automatic has never seen the light of day in a battlefield, even though they'll tell you it has. And I will argue they may look the same, but they don't function the same.
Right. So, Alex, judging by what the words that come out of these Democrats' mouths, they believe a safer America would be an America that had open borders and no guns. Can you just talk about how backwards that is?
Well, it's backwards for a number of reasons. I mean, American citizens have basic inalienable rights that are afforded to us and are protected by our Bill of Rights. And basically, that says that the government cannot require you to seek permission before you take these actions or use these items. To have open borders and to say that illegal immigrants, people that are not citizens, should be afforded all of the rights that citizens have, while at the same time trying to repeal the rights of American citizens, is just backwards. It's completely asinine, and I can't imagine that any logical, reasonable American citizen would fall for that kind of garbage.
Yeah, we're almost out of time in this segment. Before I lose both of you, Aaron, really quick, talk about the Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio Facebook pages and why those are such great places to keep up with this show and what's happening at Southern Armory throughout the week.
Right, so definitely find us on Facebook. Definitely go to SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
His mic wasn't on. He had to scramble. Oh, you should have seen it. It was pretty good. He scrambled.
You guys are falling asleep over there. One day
not me, baby. Not me. But his mic was off. He was a mess. That's good.
You know, hit the website. I won't say it again. I won't throw it goes off.
SouthernArmory.com.
Get on our newsletter. We mail that out whenever there's something big going on. Obviously, we've got the Made in America sale going on. It's a great way to come out and, A, support a small, local, family-owned business, and support American-made products and jobs.
Yes.
Can't stress that enough. So
yes.
Get in the store and definitely take advantage of what we're going to do for you guys and the great products that our American workers, you know, we can make America great again. And I think a big part of that is just, you know, buying American, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, you know, get on the socials with us. Get on Southern Armory's Facebook page. Get on Second Amendment Radio's Facebook page. I'm on there several times a week now that I have a bunch of time. And we're doing, like, gunsmithing, right? I had a loaded 44 revolver come in. And I showed you how to make it safe. And by spraying, you know, chemicals in to deactivate the ammunition. And then how to make it safe by removing the spring so the hammer wouldn't function, and then we got it apart and then cleaned it real good, put it back together for the customer. Customer's thrilled. We've worked on a couple other odds and ends throughout the week. We've had discussions on gun control and kids with guns and just a bunch of stuff that kind of carries on through the show. We just talk a little bit more in depth about. So yeah. It's a good way to kind of tune in, and there's a bunch of you doing that. It's awesome. I love seeing, you know, 300-400 plus views, and I love having 15-16 of you getting on there, and I love that there's interaction. Mm-hmm. Some of these videos, you know, you guys are asking questions, and, you know, we're just kind of talking back and forth, and I love it. So it's a way for you to interact, and
yes.
It's a way for you, you know, you're listening every week, and we love it, right? And I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you guys sharing it with your friends and telling your friends about, you know, the radio, iHeartRadio, and what's the radio thing?
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Yep.
Or going to the 97.1's website and going to the podcast and downloading it every week. You guys have made this one of the best performing shows on
yeah.
the weekends.
Yeah, it really is. That is true, and it's awesome to see that. It's a great way to keep up with everything happening here with the show, or if you miss anything or you want to hear it again, radio.com, favorite the radio station. It's a free app on your phone, your tablet, whatever. Favorite the radio station. You can stream it 24/7, and you have access to the Second Amendment Radio podcast. Again, absolutely free, all the podcasts here on the station. And, of course, Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory on Facebook. Alex, we were just talking about this presidential election that's coming up. It's going to be that time where people are going to be learning about these candidates, and then next year heading to the voting booth. We talk all the time when we talk about what's happening here in Missouri, and now we're going to expand that conversation out nationally, how important it is to do your due diligence and be educated on what these candidates have in store if they're elected to these national offices. One of the best places to stay educated and get all that information is on the Missouri Firearms Coalition website and also on social media. So could you tell folks how they can learn more and follow the issues that you guys are following at the coalition and social media websites, all that good stuff?
Yeah, for sure. You'll want to go to MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. We do a lot of live streaming. You can also find us on social media. We've got a Facebook page, over 100,000 people chime in. You can always join the discussion, continue the discussion on MissouriFirearmsCoalition.com. I know that we've got guys right now, or I'm sorry, .org. We've got guys in D.C. right now working on the red flag stuff, working on some of the other stuff. A lot of the 2020 candidates are proposing executive orders in their first 100 days. So we really want to stay active and stay on top of the news. It'll it seems like a long way away, but it's really going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, great stuff. Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition, of course, also my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. That is going to wrap up this segment of Second Amendment Radio, but we got one more to go. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Aaron Tarlow here with you. Aaron, the owner of Southern Armory, producer Chad Ellis in the studio as well. And got some questions that have been submitted to us. Keep on submitting those questions to me on Twitter at TonyColombo971, or even better, go to Facebook and go to the Southern Armory page and or the Second Amendment Radio page.
Yep.
Aaron is very good at keeping an eye on those pages, doing those midweek check-in live streams, which is a great chance for you guys to ask questions live and learn different things. I know you do a lot of gun builds and gun cleaning and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, when we do the smithing, yeah, you know, installing sights, installing barrels, building guns from scratch. So it's the Second Amendment Radio page and the Southern Armory pages are kind of great ways for you to just kind of click. And sometimes even if we get like a super rare gun in, then I will post that up. And then some of the stuff that I know I'm going to be cursing and freaking MF and this and that, and we don't go live. So, because some guns we get in are just kind of a pain to get together and back apart, and then I get some guys that come in with bag guns. I'm sure that if you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about bag guns before. Bag guns are a gun that somebody took all the way apart to get a good cleaning in, and then couldn't get it back together. So they come into Southern Armory, and then I've got to pull a schematic and make sure all the parts are there,
right,
and then put it back together. And some of these, I've only had one gun so far I've not been able to get back together. And I called the manufacturer, and they said, oh, you need a jig for that.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, like, how are you trying to do it? I'm like, very carefully. Like, they're like, oh, no, like, it's impossible to put back together. Like, it's got to come back to us.
Wow.
And they have a jig. I guess they put like the plate on, and then they set all the springs, and then they just slide the other side of the receiver on. I don't know, but they're like, yeah, you're not going to get it back together with tools. You got to have this specific jig.
Wow, that's interesting.
And they're like, tell this customer never to take it that far apart again. And
right.
I'm like, it's been expressed. It has been expressed.
Well, we can kind of start there because I get questions all the time about gun cleanings. How
yeah.
often should they be cleaned? What are the kind of things to look for when you're cleaning a gun, and what are some common mistakes that people make, like using too much oil or things like that?
WD-40.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about that. Like if a person owns a gun, how often should it be cleaned, and what are some of
so,
the biggest mistakes people make?
How often it should be cleaned is subjective, right? I will tell you a clean gun is a happy gun, and it's going to be most reliable, most accurate when it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is, I got a buddy that shoots, like, he's a fireman. His name is Butch. He's probably listening to the radio show right now.
What's up,
and
Butch?
And Butch is awesome, and he likes going to meat shoots. And he wins.
Sure.
This guy wins some meat. And like, it's unreal how much meat this guy wins. I'm like, Butch, what's your secret? And he goes, well, in between rounds, I go out to my... He's got a big thing of dip in. He's like, I go out to my truck and I run a rag down it, the barrel, so it's clean. Because the gun is always most clean, or always most accurate when it's clean. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Right? You know, so... So he wins a lot of meat that way.
Yeah, Butch knows what's up.
And if that's his theory, then more power to him. But my thing is, a happy gun is a clean gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very reliable because you're not going to have any buildup. It's going to be accurate because there's not any lead or copper in the lands or the grooves. So with that being said, and lubrication, we do see guns that are over-lubed. I've literally had guns come in, and I've picked them up, and they've dripped. And I'm like, whoa!
Wow.
Let me go get a rag.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's way too much. So if it's a carry gun, a drop of oil on a Q-tip is all the lube you get, and that'll do you well.
There you go.
You got to remember that lube attracts dust, and not only dust, but also lint. And if you like me and you got German Shepherds, dog hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of life. If you got a German Shepherd, you know you've probably eaten hair before. So
yeah.
It's in your gun too. Yeah. So
Chocolate Labs.
Yeah,
I can attest to how much dog hair.
I imagine. I mean, my dog's blowing the coat right now. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. And
she's been ferminated several times.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But clean gun is a happy gun.
Do you take it to the after every trip to the range? Do you clean your gun? Or can you go multiple times?
You can go. It depends how much you shoot.
Okay.
You know, if you've shot 500 rounds and you look down the barrel and there's a bunch of stuff in it, then yeah, you need to clean it. But if you go like kind of like me, like I clean a gun and I go to a range and shoot like 10 rounds because I want to make sure the gun works and it's put back together correctly. I don't want to clean it, start carrying it, and then pull it out on somebody and then it goes click or it goes, you know, click bang, but it doesn't eject or something weird because I had a spring in upside down or didn't have something seated all the way or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm super paranoid when it comes to cleaning guns. I will clean them and then generally go run 5-10 rounds through them, make sure they work, and then wipe it all down real good and we call it good.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to shoot, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 rounds, it probably needs a cleaning. Deep cleanings are kind of a different feel. You know, you got to shoot a lot of rounds before I'd say, yeah, let's do a deep cleaning where we strip everything out. Deep cleaning, if you're starting to see stuff like in your AR and your lower receiver, starting to see stuff build up in there, then yeah, it's time to do a deep cleaning, you know, if you can't get it out with just regular stuff.
Had another question about, I don't know the right word for it, but I know that there are sleeves, essentially, or locks that you can put on your gun even when you have it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Can you talk about those and answer that question?
Don't do it.
Don't do that? Okay, yeah. That's great to know.
If you're carrying a gun, why would you want to put a gun or trigger lock on it?
Okay, so that's what it is, a trigger lock. I didn't know the right term for it. So what is the safest way to carry it in your pocket? And
a holster.
Trigger lock.
So safety is a trade-off, right? And if we look back kind of at our founding fathers, there's liberty and then there's safety, and it's a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons I don't like TSA. I think they invade our liberties. So with all that being said, guns are kind of the same way. Every lock, every safe, every key and, you know, et cetera, you put in between that lock and or that gun and you is one more step you got to go through to make sure that you and your family are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never carry a gun with a trigger lock on it. Some guns have like the built-in locks, right? Like Taurus is real popular for that. And there's Smith & Wesson's got a lock too. And now all of a sudden you got to pull that gun out. You got to stick a key in a little hole, right, as some dude's attacking you and you've got a ton of adrenaline and no fine motor skills and unlock the gun to use it.
Yeah.
So if I tell people this all the time in CCW class, if you're carrying the gun, you're using the gun. Mm-hmm. So therefore it should be loaded, one in the chamber, or if it's a revolver, fully loaded, no empty cylinders. And then, you know, put it in a good quality holster.
Right.
And that is going to save you. There was a guy that got shot in the male genitalia region.
The groin area?
Yeah, I was going to say something else.
Yeah.
I think he got shot, like, technically, it went off once, but it, like, hit the unit and then went through and then hit the boys.
Yeah.
And then went through and then went in the leg. So I think he got technically shot, like, three times.
Chad's like...
Yeah.
Chad, like, do I have to hit the dump now?
No, I'm being super PG here, man.
He's trying.
I mean, I could be totally using my anatomy and physiology if you wanted me to.
Are holsters, I think of a holster, I think of like a overall strap. Then are that what they still are? Or are there different types of holsters?
So I prefer inside the waistband holsters. I like leather, okay, personally.
Sure,
and I like leather.
I know you do, Dad.
Hey, man, that's right. Call me Daddy. that went... Man, it's been a heck of heck of an episode. I like leather because leather. There's what we call holster wear, and it happens. It doesn't matter what kind of holster you get. I don't care if the company says, "Oh, there's no holster wear on this gun." They're lying to you. Holster wear is when the finish comes off. So when you get a leather holster, it kind of grips that gun a little bit better, and it wears it real even, so you don't really notice it getting worn. If you look at some of my Glocks that I've been carrying for 10 plus years. Probably closer to 15 years, and you go up and you compare it to a brand new one on the wall, mine kind of looks like silver and blackish. and the one on the wall just looks black. And the reason mine kind of has that silver tinge, black tinge to it, and looks really cool is because I've been, you know, pulling it in and out of a holster for so long, and it's just slowly, evenly worn the finish down. When you put it in a Kydex holster, that Kydex holster generally engages that gun in one spot over and over and over again, so you get a nice line in your gun, and generally the rest of the finishes is in good shape. So Aaron's a leather guy. For inside the waistband or shoulder holster, and then I use Kydex outside the waistband or on my competition guns, just because the Kydex is definitely quick when you're when you're going into the competition mode. Leather is more comfortable when it's in your pants because it flex and molds and stuff to your body.
Great stuff.
So
great answers. I've got more questions, but we will get to them in the future and keep on sending them to us. Again, you can follow me and send me the questions on Twitter at TonyColombo971, or you can send them directly to us, myself and Aaron, on the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, and then also, of course, the Southern Armory Facebook page, two Facebook pages that you should be following and getting your questions answered on, and check out those live streams that Aaron does every week as well.
I love the audience on the live streams.
Yeah.
It's a
fun conversation.
It's great because I get these comments back, and then
your questions answered live.
I'd be like, "Hey, Dennis, welcome to the live stream." You know, so you might even hear your name called out.
Very
cool. So
yeah, love it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Aaron Tarlow here with you. Aaron, the owner of Southern Armory, producer Chad Ellis in the studio as well. And got some questions that have been submitted to us. Keep on submitting those questions to me on Twitter at TonyColombo971, or even better, go to Facebook and go to the Southern Armory page and or the Second Amendment Radio page.
Yep.
Aaron is very good at keeping an eye on those pages, doing those midweek check-in live streams, which is a great chance for you guys to ask questions live and learn different things. I know you do a lot of gun builds and gun cleaning and all that.
Yeah, we do the smithing, installing sights, installing barrels, building guns from scratch. So it's the Second Amendment Radio page and the Southern Armory pages are kind of great ways for you to just kind of click. And sometimes even if we get like a super rare gun in, then I will post that up. And then some of the stuff that I know I'm going to be cursing and freaking MF and this and that, and we don't go live. So, because some guns we get in are just kind of a pain to get together and back apart, and then I get some guys that come in with bag guns. I'm sure that if you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about bag guns before. Bag guns are a gun that somebody took all the way apart to get a good cleaning in, and then couldn't get it back together. So they come into Southern Armory, and then I've got to pull a schematic and make sure all the parts are there, and then put it back together. And some of these, I've only had one gun so far I've not been able to get back together. And I called the manufacturer, and they said, "Oh, you need a jig for that."
Oh.
And I'm like, "Oh, like, how are you trying to do it?" I'm like, "Very carefully." Like, they're like, "Oh, no, like, it's impossible to put back together. Like, it's got to come back to us."
Wow.
And they have a jig. I guess they put like the plate on, and then they set all the springs, and then they just slide the other side of the receiver on. I don't know, but they're like, "Yeah, you're not going to get it back together with tools. You got to have this specific jig."
Wow, that's interesting.
And they're like, "Tell this customer never to take it that far apart again." And I'm like, "It's been expressed. It has been expressed."
Well, we can kind of start there because I get questions all the time about gun cleanings. How often should they be cleaned? What are the kind of things to look for when you're cleaning a gun? And what are some common mistakes that people make, like using too much oil or things like that?
WD-40.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about that. Like if a person owns a gun, how often should it be cleaned? And what are some of the biggest mistakes people make?
How often it should be cleaned is subjective, right? I will tell you, a clean gun is a happy gun, and it's going to be most reliable, most accurate when it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is, I got a buddy that shoots, he's a fireman. His name is Butch. He's probably listening to the radio show right now.
What's up, Butch?
And Butch is awesome, and he likes going to meat shoots. And he wins. Sure. This guy wins some meat. And like, it's unreal how much meat this guy wins. I'm like, Butch, what's your secret? And he goes, well, in between rounds, I go out to my... He's got a big thing of dip in. He's like, I go out to my truck and I run a rag down it, the barrel, so it's clean. Because the gun is always most clean, or always most accurate when it's clean. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Right? You know, so... So he wins a lot of meat that way.
Yeah, Butch knows what's up.
And if that's his theory, then more power to him. But my thing is, a happy gun is a clean gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very reliable because you're not going to have any buildup. It's going to be accurate because there's not any lead or copper in the lands or the grooves. So with that being said, and lubrication, we do see guns that are over-lubed. I've literally had guns come in, and I've picked them up, and they've dripped. And I'm like, whoa!
Wow.
Let me go get a rag.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's way too much. So if it's a carry gun, a drop of oil on a Q-tip is all the lube you get, and that'll do you well.
There you go.
You got to remember that lube attracts dust, and not only dust, but also lint. And if you, like me, and you got German Shepherds, dog hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of life. If right. you got a German Shepherd, you know you've probably eaten hair before. So
yeah.
It's in your gun too. Yeah. So
Chocolate Labs.
Yeah,
I can attest to how much dog hair.
I imagine. I mean, my dog's blowing the coat right now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And she's been fermented several times.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But clean gun is a happy gun.
Do you take it to the after every trip to the range, do you clean your gun? Or can you go multiple times?
You can go. It depends how much you shoot.
Okay.
You know, if you've shot 500 rounds and you look down the barrel and there's a bunch of stuff in it, then yeah, you need to clean it. But if you go like kind of like me, like I clean a gun and I go to a range and shoot like 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to make sure the gun works and it's put back together correctly. I don't want to clean it, start carrying it, and then pull it out on somebody and then it goes click, or it goes, you know, click bang, but it doesn't eject, or something weird because I had a spring in upside down or didn't have something seated all the way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super paranoid when it comes to cleaning guns. I will clean them and then generally go run 5-10 rounds through them, make sure they work, and then wipe it all down real good and we call it good.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to shoot, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 rounds, it probably needs a cleaning. Deep cleanings are kind of a different feel. You know, you got to shoot a lot of rounds before I'd say, yeah, let's do a deep cleaning where we strip everything out. Deep cleaning, if you're starting to see stuff like in your AR and your lower receiver, starting to see stuff build up in there, then yeah, it's time to do a deep cleaning, you know, if you can't get it out with
right.
just regular stuff.
I had another question about, I don't know the right word for it, but I know that there are sleeves, essentially, or
uh-huh.
locks that you can put on your gun even when you have it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Can you talk about those and answer that question?
Don't do it.
Don't do that? Okay,
yeah.
That's great to know.
If you're carrying a gun, why would you want to put a gun or trigger lock on it?
Okay, so that's what it is, a trigger lock. I didn't know the right term for it. So what is the safest way to carry it in your pocket? And
a holster.
Trigger lock.
So safety is a trade-off, right? And if we look back kind of at our founding fathers, there's liberty and then there's safety, and it's a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons I don't like TSA. I think they invade our liberties. So with all that being said, guns are kind of the same way. Every lock, every safe, every key and, you know, et cetera, you put in between that lock and or that gun and you is one more step you got to go through to make sure that you and your family are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never carry a gun with a trigger lock on it. Some guns have like the built-in locks, right? Like Taurus is real popular for that. And there's Smith & Wesson's got a lock too. And now all of a sudden you got to pull that gun out. You got to stick a key in a little hole, right, as some dude's attacking you and you've got a ton of adrenaline and no fine motor skills, and unlock the gun to use it.
Yeah.
So if I tell people this all the time in CCW class, if you're carrying the gun, you're using the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it should be loaded, one in the chamber, or if it's a revolver, fully loaded, no empty cylinders, and then, put it in a good quality holster.
Right.
And that is going to save you. There was a guy that got shot in the male
groin.
Genitalia region.
The groin area?
Yeah, I was going to say something else.
Yeah.
I think he got shot, like, technically it went off once, but it, like, hit the unit and then went through and then hit the the boys.
Yeah.
And then went through and then went in the lake. So I think he got technically shot like three times.
Chad's like,
yeah.
Chad's like, do I have to hit the dump now?
No, I'm being super PG here, man.
He's trying.
I mean, I could be totally using my anatomy and physiology if you wanted me to.
Our holsters, I think of a holster, I think of like a overall strap. Then are that what they still are? Or are there different types of holsters?
So I prefer inside the waistband holsters. I like leather, okay, personally.
Sure,
I like leather.
I know you do, Dad.
Hey, man, that's right. Call me Daddy. that went. Man, it's been a heck of heck of an episode. I like leather because leather. There's what we call holster wear, and it happens. It doesn't matter what kind of holster you get. I don't care if the company says, "Oh, there's no holster wear on this gun." They're lying to you. Holster wear is when the finish comes off. So when you get a leather holster, it kind of grips that gun a little bit better, and it wears it real even, so you don't really notice it getting worn. If you look at some of my Glocks that I've been carrying for 10 plus years, probably closer to 15 years, and you go up and you compare it to a brand new one on the wall, mine kind of looks like silver and blackish, and the one on the wall just looks black. And the reason mine kind of has that silver tinge, black tinge to it and looks really cool is because I've been, pulling it in and out of a holster for so long, and it's just slowly, evenly worn the finish down. When you put it in a Kydex holster, that Kydex holster generally engages that gun in one spot over and over and over again, so you get a nice line in your gun, and generally the rest of the finishes is in good shape. So Aaron's a leather guy. For inside the waistband or shoulder holster, and then I use Kydex outside the waistband or on my competition guns, just because the Kydex is definitely quick when you're going into the competition mode. Leather is more comfortable when it's in your pants because it flexes and molds and stuff to your body.
Great stuff.
So.
Great answers. I've got more questions, but we will get to them in the future and keep on sending them to us. Again, you can follow me and send me the questions on Twitter at TonyColombo971, or you can send them directly to us, myself and Aaron, on the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, and then also, of course, the Southern Armory Facebook page, two Facebook pages that you should be following, and getting your questions answered on, and check out those live streams that Aaron does every week as well.
I love the audience on the live streams.
Yeah.
It's a fun
conversation.
It's great because I get these comments back, and then you get
your questions answered live.
I'll be like, "Hey, Dennis, welcome to the live stream." You know, so you might even hear your name called out.
Very
cool.
So. Yeah, love it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.